Oh, hey, there you are. I was wondering when you were gonna come visit and listen to this podcast. Say, listen, if you haven't subscribed yet, cut the crap. Subscribe to the Ha Ha's for Hoo Ha's podcast. You can do it so easy through iTunes and also through the app on your phone for your podcast. If you have any questions on how to do it, just email me. Google it, okay? It'll make it much easier for you, and it helps me also. Feel free to rate and review if you like the podcast. If you don't, listen, I don't want you to be dishonest. Do what you got to do. It's America. But if you get distracted doing other things, I won't be mad about it. All right? Today I talked to Susanna Lewis of Whoa Susanna, and we have 10 reasons or 10 ways you know mama's losing it this summer. There's a lot of laughing in this podcast. Sit back, relax, enjoy.
It's the Ha Ha's for Hoo Ha's podcast. Let's get it on. I mean, only if you want to. No pressure. Sorry, that sounded kind of awkward. This is just a podcast. So, you know, everybody relax.
Hello! Welcome, everybody, to the Ha Ha's for Hoo Ha's podcast. My name is Anna Lind Thomas. I am the founder of Ha Ha's for Hoo Ha's, and I am here with the hilarious Susanna Lewis from Whoa Susanna. Hey, Susanna.
Hey, Anna.
Hello. Hey. Listen,
I can't do it as well as you. I try to do it.
You just gotta...
Mine just sounds like some old vaudeville mess up or something.
Just shrill.
Yeah, it's terrible.
I'm
sorry.
Hello! Yeah, you just got to get the frog in there. And that's my secret to success. But
I'll work on it.
So I just wanted to give you a couple of updates. I have to be careful because my neighbors found Ha Ha's for Hoo Ha's without any prompting from me.
Oh, no. Helen?
Well, no, Helen's daughter. So she's like... Didn't know
was
my.
You know she's gonna hear it.
Well, no. She goes. I didn't know my new neighbor was an internet celebrity. I was like, oh, you Googled me, did you? She goes, and then she just made. She loved the website and all that, but I was like, well, I've been talking about your mom in the podcast, and I've only said nice things, but Susanna has basically accused you of my.
Oh, great.
Well, let me tell you, they're a load of fun. I will say that yesterday, Grandma Helen, the grandpa made a water slide that goes into the lake, and Grandma Helen was testing it out. And I had some friends over for dinner, and Grandma Helen was testing it out, and she had a little bit too much skin.
Oh, okay.
You know when you're trying to go down a slide and you've just got too much skin,
yeah,
and you're just screeching all the way down.
Yeah.
So that was good to see a 75-year-old woman out there just screeching all the way down with too much skin on a slide and then going into a lake. It was pretty good dinner conversation. I don't think Helen's listening to the podcast. Now, whether or not her daughter-in-law Chanel is, Well,
Helen needs to butter her biscuits before she goes down the slide.
She needs a little
Pam.
Just a little, yeah, Pam it up, oil it up. Put a little something on the slide first. I could tell it was hurting. I could tell it was burning halfway through. Yeah, just really screeching all the way down. So I really want to go out there and float, but I'm just worried that I'm going to find myself in the middle of the lake and no way to get back. And I don't know if this pregnant body floats or not. I don't know if I sink like an anvil or if I...
No. You float. No, you'll float.
Screaming for help because I get out of breath just walking to the kitchen. So I don't know.
But you know, like how things... I've got a visual. You know, you'll start out float and then you'll like flip over onto your front, you know, like a Tommy Tippy cup.
Yeah, exactly.
Can't flip back over.
Exactly. So I'm really worried about that. I mean, that's like a legitimate fear I have. So lately I've just been like putting a chair at the edge of the beach where the water and putting my feet in. And I go, you know, this is not the summer for summer fun. I'll tell you that.
Yeah.
It's going to have to be next year. But then the baby's going to be about, 6 months? And so then I'm going to be I'll probably be inside watching everybody have fun next year.
Parenting 2032. That's your summer.
That's my summer where I can go out there with a beer. Yeah. Because we've got floaties that have little cup holders. Finally, I can go out there with the beer and everybody can leave me the hell alone.
Right, right.
That's going to be my year to finally have some freaking fun.
Yeah, that's your goal. Go on and get a calendar now. Well, with 16 year, go get a 16 year calendar and go and start barking off today.
Well, that's the thing about parenting, though, that when you start later in your 30s, is that you do go backwards in a significant way in terms of your freedom.
Yeah,
because most of your friends at this time have just started to get some more freedom. Kids are in school, or they've got play dates, or they've got this and that going on. And so I'm, you know, at this age, we're kind of in the trenches for where, you know, you can't do it. Everything's about nap time. Well, I can't.
I know.
So not that I'm complaining. I'm just pointing out that I'm in the.
Well, see, I'm crazy because I'm starting. Mine are 10 and 6. So I'm starting to get my freedom back. And yet I'm trying to have a third baby.
I know. See,
like I'm like a fool. It doesn't. Like I miss nap times. Like I miss it.
It doesn't make any sense. But, and I tell you what, when you do, you know, when it does happen for you, you are going to have a moment when you're so big that you're getting out of breath trying to get off your couch that you're going to think to yourself, oh my God, what have I done?
And I'm too old for this.
I'm too old for this. And then, and then you just fall in love again. It's that cycle. It's that, it's that cycle of regret and happiness. It's just the way it is.
Well, mark me on the calendar in 2032 with you then.
you'll know what's up. We both won't be able to get anything done. We won't be able to podcast. We won't be able to get our writing in. We'll watch our careers just go down the tubes.
Dwindle.
Dwindle into nothing. So,
hashtag dwindle.
All right, so I want to talk to you because you've written some funny posts, particularly for Hoo-Ha's, about the summer and kids getting bored for the summer. Have your kids gotten bored yet? Now, I know Natalie's busy, but are they bored already?
Yes, they are. Yeah, we're extremely busy. You know, we're a ball family, a softball, baseball family. So we are extremely busy with that. So we go, 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 go. And then suddenly we have a day off and it's, mama, there's nothing to do. I've got to have some friends over. Not just a friend, some friends. It's a constant. Yeah, I mean, we go, 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 go. And then soon as, you know, the grownups are like, yes, we can finally relax. They want to still keep going.
Yeah.
Like Energizer bunnies on methamphetamines. They just want to keep going.
No, but you do you get some adult time, though, because with other, like, softball moms or no?
Yeah. I mean, we sit behind the fence and yell about things.
But otherwise, really no other kind of adult time.
Well, you know, I'll have a friend come over once in a while. Well, the beauty of that is my husband is the coach. So he will take the girl and they have practice. If they're not playing, they have practice every night. And sometimes he'll take the boy with him to the park and they'll go practice for a little while. And maybe I'll have a friend come over and, you know, sit and we'll talk about softball for 3 hours.
Friends are hard. I actually had some friends come over last night and it was so much fun. But
yes, it's fun.
I forget. I always deeply underestimate how much work it is to have people over for dinner.
Oh, gosh.
It's like moving. I know it's going to be hard. I know that I've cried a few times before they've come over. I've gotten into fights with Rob probably half of the time because he's not vacuuming like I asked or whatever.
Right.
And I always forget. So I even made something that can be, I made chicken parmesan, which can be in the fridge and then even cooked on the day of. I went through all of these things to make it better. And it was still like just huffing and puffing, mopping the floor, sweeping, taking trash out.
Yeah.
I mean,
It's a job.
It's a lot of work to have friends, I've decided. Unless you gotta, or you leave. You get a babysitter and you leave. It's probably the best way to do it, but.
Yeah. Well, my daughter just had her birthday, 10th birthday this week. So we had parties for that. And that was a lot of work. And my husband, the most evil thing he's ever said to me in our 15 years, the most evil thing he's ever said to me is, "What are you stressing about? All you have to do is get a cake."
Oh, that man.
He almost lost a testicle that day.
All you got to do is get a cake.
All you got to do is get a cake. And the look on my face was like an episode of Snapped. I said, "Get the hell out of the house now."
That's what happens. And then Rob told me yesterday, well, my hormones are full blast. And so I still like to tell people, though, when I'm hormonal, and even like this with PMS, it's not, and I think I've talked about this on an older podcast, but I haven't invented something out of the air to get pissed about. Like, I'm not crazy. You know what I mean? Like, what happens is that you have a for real grievance, but you lost that filter that gets you out of the nightly news. You know what I mean? Like, that you lose that discipline that ensures your family stays safe.
Right.
And so that's the only difference. It's not like you're just nuts yelling at people for no reason. Like, they have pissed you off and they're being jerks. And at that point, you just don't have the patience for it. You're like, "Listen, mother effer," you know?
Mm-mm.
Yeah. So I've been, things have been tense. And so, Rob, I had these like tasks I wanted him to do. We still had some boxes in the dining room that I wanted to be moved out. I had all this stuff to do, and he just wasn't doing it, you know, like I wanted him to. And then he kind of cut some attitude, and that started to snowball. And he's like, "You know what? Maybe right now we just shouldn't have people over if this is what's going to happen." You know, it's like you start to get like they're going to be there in 2 hours, and you're about to cry. You know what I mean?
That's when you send out the "Sorry guys, my grandmother just fell" text.
Yeah, exactly.
We can't have people over tonight. Rain check.
"I'm so sorry, but we've got a family emergency." We're about to take Lucy to the emergency room. We don't know what it is.
We have a family emergency. We're about to get divorced, so we're gonna.
When really it's just me. It's just me in the whirlpool tub crying. Just crying. Just mad, replaying all the injustices of the day. So, anyway, we got through that barely by the skin of our teeth.
Mm-hmm.
And they came over and it was a great time, of course. But I just forget. I'm just so pregnant right now that I just think I can do so much. And then. Yeah. I'll try to steam clean. I've got these beautiful dark wood floors, and I just want to warn all of you that dark wood floors, in my opinion, are the most beautiful floors, but they are also floors from hell because you can see everything and you will mop and you will still see crap everywhere. Yep. You just cannot keep them clean. So, do you have you? Struggle. Oh, it is the worst.
Yes.
Do you have dark wood floors?
Extremely dark, like a mahogany. I don't know, but they're beautiful. But you're right. Everything you can see, I still see pine needles from last Christmas on the floor.
It makes it look like I'm running. I've got one dog. He's a bulldog, and it makes it look like I'm running a dog kennel. Number one.
Yeah.
Right.
Paw prints.
Fur. Coats, it's like a sea of fur. And I look at Bruno like, "Have you lost your mind? What are you doing to my house?" He'll drink water, and it's like it shows up everything. So I'm cleaning with the steam vac, and I gotta tell you, steam vacs require a little glute muscle action. Of course, my left glute goes out, so I'm literally dragging like a lame leg behind me. While I'm steam vacuuming, fighting with my husband to move these damn boxes and put them in the storage like I asked him to.
A lame leg.
So I've got a lame leg. I'm sweating. I have no makeup on yet. They're going to be here any minute.
Yeah.
Then they show up and you're like, hey, can I get you, you know, who wants beer? I've got wine. You know, like nothing happened. But have you realized, I know I'm getting off topic, but have you noticed in your own life that a lot of couples get into fights before events?
Always, yeah. On the ride there.
Yes, on the ride there. Blowouts. And then everybody has to, like, fake it once they arrive.
Yeah. Yeah, then you get out of the, like, you slam the car door, you're like, you son of a, hey, how are you?
Yeah. I don't know what that is, but I've even noticed that with, like, my own family. Uh-huh. That, like, you know, my like my brother will come over with his girlfriend or whatever. You can tell they got on a fight on the way there. Mm-hmm. And it's like, can you guys fake it, please? We're trying to have a good family dinner.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. I don't know what that is. I don't know if it's like the stress of getting somewhere on time does it.
It's usually that one person doesn't want to go.
Yes. Yeah, that's actually it. That is it. And
they
so,
don't want to go. Yeah.
And so the whole time, they're just being kind of a jerk.
Yeah.
Yeah. And so then it just starts this, like, spiral in the car on your way there. You get an argument about the directions. You're lost. You're late, and then you're pissed because the other one made you late, you know? Well, if you didn't have to take a crap right when it was time to leave, maybe we'd be here on time and I wouldn't be embarrassed. It's not my fault I had to poop, you know.
Like, and you wouldn't smell like shit either.
Did you even Febreze? God. Yeah, so that's... Life is hard. We're just all trying to get through it. We're just all trying to bring our lemon bars to a pool party and not fight with people. But it's just so hard.
So hard, yeah.
Okay, so one of the things that really made me laugh that you talked about when you're like losing your mind during the summer is you said that you eagerly accept an invitation to a jamboree party because you'll gladly have your nails wallpapered if it means 2 free glasses of wine and adult conversation. So
I jumped on the jamboree wagon.
Wait, are you saying that you are into jamboree now?
I have summer kiss on my ring finger. Well, see, here's what happened. Okay. Here's what happened. Okay. One of my good friends got into jamboree, and I was like, you know, this is ridiculous. I have to see. Like, she kept inviting me to these berry blowouts, right? And I was like, because I know she's not a crazy person. Mm-hmm. You know, she's like a stable person. I thought, well, if she approves of this, maybe she's on to something, okay? Mm-hmm. And her nails did always look cute. So I said, look, I'm coming over this week. Well, she sent me a free sample, and I put the thing on upside down, and I looked like I had a Freddy Krueger claw with, like, a floral design on it. And I sent it to her, and I said, see, this crap doesn't work. She said, it's on upside down. So I said, okay, I'm still going to give it a chance. So I said, look, I'm coming over to your house. I can't do any more tutorials on YouTube because they're so cheesy and I don't understand. I'm coming over. And so she jamboreed me up and I placed a little order and I got some jams.
So you're a jamboree believer. You're a jam believer. That didn't work. I tried.
Yeah. I mean, I don't go crazy and like switch out with every outfit, you know.
How do they come off? Do you have to like steam them off?
They're pretty easy. You use a like a hair dryer for like a few seconds and then it shoop, peels right off.
Okay, so here's the thing about my nails, and that is when I write, I pick my nails off. And
yeah,
I have no idea that I've done it. And I've been this way my whole life, and it's so unconscious that I don't realize it until I'm done. I remember when I was writing my thesis, I had really horrible nubs and had to put Band-Aids on. It's an illness, people. Okay. It's an illness.
Yeah.
But whenever I take prenatal vitamins, it makes your nails really strong, right? When I've been writing my book, I can't really pick at them very easily because they're just really strong nails. So they've actually grown out really long.
Yeah.
And one thing that I've noticed with long nails is that they get dirty.
Yeah, they do.
They're filthy. And
yeah.
When you're changing diapers and all that, ugh. I mean, it's just like, you got to wash your hands. I was like, you know what? Mm-hmm. I thought that my habit was filthy, but I'm wondering if long nails are filthy.
Mm-hmm. You have to scrub like, you know, a surgeon.
Yeah,
like,
exactly.
You know. Yeah. Yeah.
Oh, excuse me. I wonder if I'm going to edit that out or just keep it. I'm going to keep it. I'm
too lazy.
I
think you should keep it.
Yeah.
Okay. I think you should keep it. Yeah.
So, all right, let's talk about, let's take another bird walk with the fans here because.
See, you wait, hold on, time out.
Oh, wait.
See, the last two podcasts, you've made me reveal things about myself that I not.
Well,
like, last week. I had to admit that I took the Apple back because I'm too stupid to operate it. So I'm on Windows 10. And now everybody knows I'm jammed out.
After you wrote a satirical piece about Jamberry.
That's how I got sucked into it. She read it. She's like, really? You want the two glasses of wine? I was like, yeah. She's like, are you a liar? I said, yeah, I do. So that's when... It got in my head, and I finally succumbed to the berries.
Well, I remember last year, though, didn't you write like an onion-style piece for Who Ha's that had Jamberry in it? Or am I mixing you up with Rach Riot? I'm not mixing you up. Okay, well, if you all remember, Rachel Pavlik of Rach Riot wrote a piece that went mega viral. They even asked her to be on 2020 because she really went after not just Jamberry, but all of those businesses that women get into on the side, and they usually do it by exploiting their fans on Facebook. And that's what happens, is you just get so annoyed that you just end up making fun of it. But what's kind of happened now, I've noticed, is that since everybody got made fun of so bad, that a lot of these women are like a little insecure, and it's kind of made me feel bad because I've had some friends from high school who are like, I know that I really need to make some money on the side. I know that this is really annoying. I'm going to be very careful not to feel like they have to like totally explain themselves now.
Yeah. There's a disclaimer. Yeah,
which that kind of makes me feel bad because it really is a lot of women who have to or want to work from home but also need to make some revenue. The trouble is, and where they all got themselves into trouble and what really started to piss me off, was that I was getting friend requests. Mm-hmm. And you can only friend request me. I have my personal account on pretty tight lockdown. And you can only friend request me if we have a mutual friend.
Yeah.
And so I'm getting old people from high school that I barely remember them. I'm like, God, your face looks familiar, but I don't know if we ever spoke. But we have so many other high school mutual friends that I kind of feel like a jerk nut. And then immediately, the minute I friend them, I get put into... three of their business groups.
Yep.
And I get an invitation. And the trouble with forcing people into these groups, and Facebook needs to change this, is that then you start to get all of the notifications. Like, just a reminder, a Jamberry party is happening at 10 p.m. at so-and-so's house. And it's like, Facebook, I never asked to be into this Jamberry party. You need to get me out.
You have to leave the group.
You do.
Immediately.
And then they see it. So there's already a social, like, it puts everybody in socially awkward positions.
Because, they see that you left the group?
Yeah, it says Anna left the group.
Oh.
I didn't know that until I left a group that was church related and my church friends called me out on it. They're like, I see Anna's left the group early.
You ain't selling me no religion. I'm out.
I don't remember what the group was, but it was like a church event, and it was so busy and everybody was talking so much. I was like one of the first people to leave, and they were like, well, I see. Yeah. Guess you're not bringing the brownies. And I'm like, guys, it isn't about that. You're driving me crazy. Because you know this, when you run like pages, I run like three, you get notifications up the wazoo. So you just get sick of extra notifications that just have nothing to do with you. But
gosh, it drives me crazy.
Yeah,
it's too much clutter. It'll make you insane. I mean, your phone is constantly ding ding ding, and then that little red bubble pops up, and suddenly you got 300 notifications, and you know 75 of them are about unique lashes. I don't have time for it.
Yeah, so my thing is that if you do sell I support that 100%. And I do understand mm-hmm. that that is the business strategy that is being taught, which is to put people into these groups. And I do know that it works.
Yeah, it
does. My only thing is, if you decide to do it, be prepared that there will be a large percentage who will be annoyed and won't tell you to your face.
Yeah.
But they're going to be.
That's right.
That's just the price you pay. I mean, that's kind of what happens. So.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, as long as we can all tell the truth about it, then it's all good.
Right. Right. Yeah. You know, that's what my close friends, my friend who does the Jamberry, who's hilarious and you know, I know she's not crazy. You know, I don't mind from those people, but like you said, people you haven't seen in 23 years and they send you that request and then suddenly, are you interested in, no, I'm not interested. Not even, hey, how are you doing? Where have you been? Or, you know, do I know you? Nothing like that.
I know. Now your nails are covered in Jamberry and you might look like a little bit of a hypocrite, but.
Hey. They had a softball jam that sold me on it.
I don't know. Maybe I'll get into them now. I don't really paint my nails. Maybe I told you
I'm not obsessed. Like, I don't have my name spelled out on my fingers.
You just got one little cute one.
I got the little cute one, and then I paint the other ones, and everybody says, oh, that's so cute, and Jamberry. And I say, yeah, let me add you to a group real quick.
Oh, you're interested? Fantastic. I've already invited you.
Yeah, ask me about these. So I put my hands up.
Okay, so let's walk back a little bit to kids in summertime, because you know what I have recently experienced is Lucy now, I mean, putting her to bed with the sun still out.
Oh,
has not been easy.
Uh-uh.
We've actually kind of had to move it to like closer to 8, where she was, if she was 6, that was a glorious time in my life. And then it went to 7. And now we're kind of have to push it to 8 because even when she's tired, she's just, are you guys crazy? There's people outside boating still. Why am I in here? You know? And the sun doesn't go down till like 9. Which is just awful for parenting.
Yeah. So and the sound of Helen on that slide is keeping everybody away.
He's screeching all the way down.
Yeah.
So do you try to put your kids to bed early? Do you just let them go to
bed? No, we have no bed. No, we have no bedtime in the summer. They were swimming last night at 10:45. But guess what? They're still in the bed right now.
Oh.
And it's 11:45.
Oh, not even Bennett?
They have little summer hangovers. Yeah, Bennett. The only way that doesn't work is this has been our first week of no camps early in the morning.
Mm-hmm.
So if they have like a camp in the morning, you know, I make them go to bed, but it's not school time bedtime. It's still late. And then most of the time I just end up yelling, you know, go to bed. I've had it. Go to bed. Just go to bed. And they do.
See, I was the baby of my family, and I don't remember ever being told to go to bed.
I didn't have bedtime.
My mom did give me structure, especially when I was little. But I don't remember. I just remember just doing whatever I wanted. You know, when my sister's up till whenever, you know, why not me? So.
Yeah, I was the baby too, and I just did what I want, pretty much.
Exactly. You just do whatever the hell you want with the baby.
But I'll tell you what, if I had been it as a baby brother, my mom had been shuffling us off to bed real quick.
Okay, so what is it? What's Bennett do that?
Oh, Bennett's fun. He's real fun.
He's party.
He's just a little party animal, and he just goes, and then when he doesn't get his way, it's just, you know, World War III. You know, I told you Natalie got a TV in her bedroom for her birthday, and he was pissed. And like, I thought he was like going to kick the DirecTV guy or something. And he stomped off. He said, "This is the worst day of my life." He's very dramatic, Anna. He's going to win, you know, an Emmy. One day for most outstanding dramatic actor in a series or something. He's very dramatic.
Oh my gosh.
But he's cute enough he can get away with it.
That's the trouble. Yeah. And you know, what's really interesting about Lucy is that she is very hard to discipline, which she's at an age now where you don't really discipline, but she is at the age where you start to guide their behavior and say, no, that's not an okay behavior. And, you know,
yeah,
otherwise they're just going to be like naughty little toddler terrors. But
right,
the thing about her is that, like, she'll start a naughty tantrum, but then she starts laughing. So it's almost like she, like, I'm like, what are you, what is this? So she doesn't take being naughty very seriously. I think she's going to be like a goofball because she's almost like, oh, I'm just playing. It's cool. I don't need any more grapes. It's all good. Like, I honestly, she's so funny. So she's going to be kind of interesting to see how she.
Oh, that's fun.
Because you can't really follow through with any kind of teaching her a lesson because she's rolled out of it so quickly that you can't, it doesn't even make sense to keep talking.
Yeah.
Not right, like she'd understand it, but you know what I mean? Like you just stop because you're like, well, all right, well, go ahead.
She got it.
Yeah, she got ahead. It. Yeah. So, oh, yeah. Good grief. Okay. So one of the, another funny part that you have here is she puts the children to bed. We were talking about that. When strangers smile at her beautiful children at Target, the mom asks if they'd like to take them for the afternoon. if she means it.
Yeah, that's accurate. That's true.
Yeah.
Well, I think it just, you know, it just wears on you. All day. And, you know, don't take it wrong. I love spending time with these kids. But, you know, all day, just the same questions over and over. And, you know, they need more ice cream and more toys and more mm-hmm. friends and more sleepovers. It's more. And then mm-hmm. you see somebody that looks clean in Target and you're like, why not?
They look
just for the afternoon.
Just for the afternoon. What's the big deal?
I've called the babysitter to come watch them while I go to the grocery store because I can't deal. I mean, I will pay her $15 for an hour,
yeah,
or 2 hours to just come hang out so I can shop in peace, you know?
Yeah, yeah. I've been actually having some pretty tough moments, and I'm sure it's going to get easier, but I consider myself a work-from-home mom, and I don't know, do you consider yourself a work-from-home mom because you write, or you just consider yourself a writer who writes in the cracks when you can?
A writer who writes, I guess, yeah.
See, I think I have to have much more structure and have to get work done. And she's at that toddler age where we've lost a nap. Yeah. And, you know, I don't know if it's pregnancy or what, but I did start whenever Rob is gone because he works the entire day. And especially if it's multiple days in a row, I start to feel a little bit of despair. Like I don't have control over my own life at all. You know what I mean? That's not to say I don't have control of my household. Like, you know, it's not like Lucy's, you know, I'm just sitting there victim. But you don't have control. I can't say, I got to get my writing done right now. So, you little 18-month-old, you go play in this other room and you sit there and be a good girl. Mommy's going to write for an hour. Like, that's not going to, she's like, what?
Yeah.
That was too many. I don't know what you're saying, but pick me up, please. You know?
Yeah.
So,
That'll get easier. Yeah.
And she's kind of at the age too where she kind of if she's in a mood, it's like she'll wrap around your leg like a koala and just like beg you to stop. Stop cooking. Stop cleaning and just be with me. You know, that kind of clingy age. So I have people are like, no, that's very normal. It gets bad. It's just the phase, but
it is, yeah. Yeah.
It's a killer phase. And it's a really cute one. So when I'm in my office working and Rob's even here, she comes in with her teddy bear, all grins. I mean, who can work under those kind of circumstances?
Yeah.
With your baby coming in with a big smile. I know. It's just.
She's got you.
She's got. So motherhood is this weird kind of dynamic of constant mixed feelings. Mm-hmm. I feel like. Do you feel that way where it's like.
Yeah. Yeah.
The most wonderful, rewarding thing, but then hard and sacrifice. It's just all this blend of mixed feelings.
It is.
Yeah.
I'm talking about struggling with things. My, you know, my daughter was like that, you know, like Lucy is, a, you know, just very clingy, mama, mama, mama. And I've noticed, excuse me, I'm getting choked up about it. Not really, I have drainage. Anyway, I've noticed now she just turned 10. And it's so strange, Anna, like her friends have phones now and stuff. And now, like I was picking them, her and some friends up from basketball camp last week, and they were like telling secrets in the back seat that they didn't want mama to hear. And this child has always shared everything with me, you know? Mm-hmm. And now it's suddenly talk about boys and, you know, they're singing along to, you know, pop hits on the radio. And suddenly, and I, you know, she's got this messaging on her, you know, iPad and like conversations with her. And suddenly I'm not a part of, I'm not the center of her world anymore. Mm-hmm. There's things she wants to tell other kids and things that aren't my business. And, you know, of course they're my business, but things she doesn't feel she needs to tell me. And I'm like, well, what about me? You know?
Yeah.
So one day you will miss that coming in with the teddy bear all grins, because mine's like, you know, see ya. We're going outside.
I know.
But like, do you want to watch American Girl movie? I already saw that with Addie.
I know. Like, well, that's the mix. That's a part of the mixed feelings, is even knowing that I'll miss it and that I want it and that. And I've had some friends, because I've got so much to do that they've recommended, what if you tried like a part-time daycare? And I just can't do it. And listen, no judgment towards women who do it. I know some kids who, their daycares are fabulous and they ask to go on days off. So not a hater by any means, but I personally, well, number one, I'm not sure we could totally afford it in a way that makes sense. It's kind of like, wait, so I'm just taking her to daycare so I can get work done to pay for the daycare? That doesn't make any sense. Yeah. But I don't want to miss out on this time either. So it's that conflicting feeling, because I was kind of talking to my mom. I was like, when you feel so pulled with a purpose to be a writer and you've got things to write and to say, and it's hovering over you at the same time when you know that you've got a purpose to be a mother. Yeah. That is some crazy conflicting feelings. Now, normally, and what's causing the problem is that I'm pregnant, and so I can't wake up early. Before, I could wake up at maybe 5. Sometimes it was even 4:30, and it sucked, but I could do it. I literally can't do it now, because your body is just like, I have to repair from yesterday with your glute, with your broke-ass glute dragging lame behind you.
Yeah.
While you steam clean the floors, you got to sleep until at least, you know, 7:30. So just shut up.
Steam mopped yesterday. I got to sleep in.
No, that's my life, Susanna. That's not even like an exaggeration. That's not even an exaggeration. That's my life.
Yeah.
So that's kind of where I'm at. And it's kind of gotten me a little bit frustrated. But I do know that there are phases, and there are phases that just you think it might be the end of the world or causing this huge life adjustment, and then before you know it changes to something new and you're like, oh, that was no big deal. You know?
I know. I've got a couple of friends whose kids just graduated, and gosh, reading their Facebook statuses and stuff, you know, I'm just crying along with them. I'm like, what am I gonna do when these babies are like, you know, have their own apartment off campus somewhere? What am I going to do?
You're going to be, I bet you're going to be writing books and going on book tours.
So. You think so?
Oh yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. I'll be a raging alcoholic. There'll be a behind the story.
like your books just start to get real dark.
Yeah.
Just real dark.
It'll be Kathy Lee and Hoda will be like, author Susanna Lewis was found, in the lobby of the Hilton today. Burping up bourbon with a bottle of whiskey in her hand.
Well, that's what you've got. It is a blessing to have a talent and a purpose in something outside of parenting, so that you do have it. Because there's a lot of women who go 130% into motherhood, and then when they hit 40-45, when they're, depending on when they have their children, of course, when they're between 40 and 50 and the kids are gone, they're like, oh my god, What do I do now? And where do I find my fulfillment? Yeah. And so it is a blessing to kind of find something now. And that doesn't mean you have to be famous or you have to be the very best, but to find something now that you can kind of work on slowly on the side, I think, so that when that time does come, I think a lot of people would be a little bit happier for it. If anything, they're like ready for their kids to leave. They're like, get out of the house. I got to turn your room into a craft space. Because my purses are selling like hotcakes on eBay. You know? Mm-hmm.
This is my unique station. is-
yeah, exactly. So, well, let's go through this. This list is good. So I'm going to keep going here. Mother, who has never smoked a cigarette in her life, is found behind the shed hotboxing a carton of Marlboro Red.
That's why I keep clearing my throat, seriously. That I may have picked up that habit again this summer. I'm not going to say yes or no, but
I don't know. It's hard not to in the summer anyway. It's just, especially with a nice cold beer, relieve the stress.
It's not Coke.
Do you think if you could? Yeah, exactly. That's a great way to justify it. It's not cocaine.
That's right.
So here it is. I always wondered, do you ever think that, would you ever consider trying the vapor, those vapor things?
I do.
Do you like that? Or is that what you're using now?
I have one sitting by the computer. by my PC, not my Apple computer.
Is it? I just out of curiosity. Do you feel like it's better?
I didn't want to tell anybody about this either. I don't really. I mean, I don't appreciate you broadcasting our therapy sessions like this. I didn't want people to know I do my nails. I'm smoking. I don't want people to know these things.
Jamberry, you're back on the cig, and now you vape.
Gosh. Well, you know, you know this, that I've smoked in all through high school and college, and then I quit for a long time, and then when my mother died last year, I started back smoking like an idiot. I shouldn't have, but you know, if that's there's a time to smoke, that's it.
Yeah, exactly.
And so I started back doing that, and smoking really makes me feel terrible. I really don't feel good. I'm sluggish. I'm tired. I cough, and I stink. I'm more worried about how I smell than anything else, I guess. So a couple of my friends, my brother's girlfriend vapes, and she hasn't smoked in years. And so I said, well, I'm going to try it. It looks stupid, but, you know, I've got my Jamberries on. I'm going to go ahead.
You got nothing to lose.
Like, I should, like, you know how when they model their Jamberries, they hold things, you know?
Yeah, just hold
I'm going to, like, hold my vape, my vapor.
Yeah.
And just tell everybody. But anyway, I am a fan of it. I really am. It has helped. I mean, because I've done both ways. I've quit cold turkey, and that's no fun. Mm-hmm. And I mean, I don't suck on this thing all the time like it's a cigarette.
It just helps you. It just helps take the edge off. Exactly.
It does.
Yeah.
It does. Yeah.
And it's just air mist, right? So it really doesn't have the same kind of – I mean, I know a lot of doctors have said, well, we don't know the research on it yet, but
– It's strawberry formaldehyde. Not real. It's propylene glycol. It's not gonna. It's fine. Everything's fine.
Everything's good. Everybody just relax.
It's a huge. Everybody who's against it is for big tobacco. That's all it is. Yep. You know.
Yep. Exactly.
Yeah.
Well, I think. I've always.
What else you want to dig out here?
Well, now I'm really trying to get. No.
What else?
Now I'm in. I'm interested now.
I'm losing followers by the second.
You know what? Listen, I think people always appreciate when someone tells the truth, because there's always people who are like, yes, I've struggled with that for so long.
Yeah.
And I've been a social smoker, and it's hard for me not to in certain social settings. And so, I mean, I get it to a degree, although I've never been like a daily. And so when you've got that, I mean, it just takes the edge off is what I assumed. But I always thought they were kind of funny. Like I saw, you know, you can't smoke a vapor without, you have to have confidence. You can't be insecure. You got to be confident. You got to wear your shades.
Yeah.
And you just got to get it out and just act like this is the thing. Is what I've discovered.
I'm healing my lungs. What are you doing?
What are you doing over there? It looks like nothing.
No rat poison in this.
Okay. Let's see. Her Facebook posts become rambling, incoherent drivel. That includes quotes from Fear and Loathing in Las Vegas. She goes door to door to every home in town with a petition to resume school immediately. These are just these are just signs that mom is losing it for the summer.
Yeah.
Her selfies resemble the terrified screenshot of the snotty girl in the Blair Witch Project. God, I kind of want to watch the Blair Witch Project again because I remember that movie, but it made me nauseated. That was a hard
movie. Did it?
Yeah, did it? Do you?
Yeah, I remember summer of 1999 is when it came out. Yeah.
Yes. And
that's everybody thought it was real. Remember?
That was like the amazing, that was so amazing that people thought it was real.
It was. I thought it was real and I was scared to death. That's when I started smoking.
Wait, you were one of the people who thought it was real?
That's when I started smoking. Yeah. I was 16.
No, not in 99. You weren't. Well, 17.
17. I was 17. Yes. That's the whole hype. Oh, y'all got to see this real movie they off. Yeah. Me and my friends were sitting there like, oh, my God. What?
When did you find out that it was just a movie?
2008.
That's not true. I hope that that's true, but
it's not true. I found out soon after. But when I watched it, I really did think it was real. I probably found out maybe a week or so later.
I got, you know, what's kind of sad is that whole movie, it was a pretty genius at the time, but that one girl is most memorable, most for her snotty bubble nose.
Yeah.
She's like, all that acting and hard work I put into that and all you people know me for is my snot bubble. That sucks.
But she did it so well.
She did do it really well. It was.
It's on Netflix.
Well, I'll watch it again, but I just remember towards the end being like, oh, man, they have got to get a grip on this camera because I can't handle how shaky it is. And it had no resolution. And, man, that they were super, super famous, and then that was it. That was the end of it. I don't think they've really done anything after that. So that was a bummer, too. But
yeah. Well, see, we had no, Wikipedia back then to, like, Google their names and find out that they were really just actors.
No,
you know?
I know. Exactly. That was a crazy time. Do you think you would rather start your writing career now, or would you have preferred earlier where you didn't have the expectation of running a social media following and all that?
Oh, man.
I think we have major advantages now that other people didn't. Yes. That's for sure.
Oh, absolutely. Self-publishing.
Exactly.
The route I take. Yeah. I don't know. I mean, I've always written like you, I guess. I've always written. But I don't know. I guess it's hard without Facebook, you know?
I think sometimes I just kind of wish like, why couldn't I just be like an Anne Lamott who can show up once a month and write something that she wrote 4 years ago and just republish it. It gets like 30 likes, shared a gazillion times, and then move on with your day. That's how, you know, only because I love social media and I love interacting with people. I actually am very passionate about it. But when you can't do it because you're so busy or you're so tired, then you start to feel not bad, like your fans even care. They could care less. They don't know what you're doing. They're out having a barbecue. But you start to miss it or feel like just horrible FOMO, like that fear of missing out. Like everybody's talking and I'm not a part of the conversation you know, I need to put something funny up today, but I've got, you know, nothing funny left in me, that kind of feeling. And so sometimes I don't like that very much, but I wish I didn't have the pressure or feel the pressure to do that when really it's just a pressure I'm putting on myself. But
it is. Nobody else cares. But I do this. I do the same. I do the same thing. And the same thing. I'm like, gosh, I hadn't posted in 2 days. What? Oh, gosh, I got to do something. I got to come up with something today. And nobody cares.
Yeah. And then you make a video in your car bitching about people who ride your ass in the car, and then it goes viral, and you're like, oh, another successful Friday.
That'll tide me over for a few days.
Phew. You are in a streak right now. You're like, everything you touch is gold at this point.
Is it? Yeah.
And so
my jam berries.
I'm like, this is your time. Just ride it. Just ride it like a stallion.
Oh, thanks.
That got a little sexual. I didn't mean it to.
It did. My mind was going all. I went back to your marital drawer for a moment.
By the way, after that went live, I missed three calls from my mom. And I was like,
did you?
I was like, oh, God. She knows that I posted about it. Mm-hmm. So she calls and she's like, hey, your Aunt Connie called. And she was laughing so hard that I couldn't understand what she was saying, but it had something to do with me finding your personal items in a box. Have you told people about this? I was like, well, I wrote a post and I podcasted on it, but I was going to tell you. She just laughed. She didn't care.
Oh,
word got around fast. I think the cousins found it, told the aunt, aunt told the mom.
Yeah. Does your family kind of know by now that nothing is off limits? Mine does.
Oh, yeah. Oh, definitely.
My daughter will say or do something, then she'll immediately say, don't put it on Facebook.
You know, I know Rob doesn't care. There's been a couple times where he gets worried that I'm going to put him in a bad light. But if anything, I'll try to skew it so that I look like the bad one.
Yeah.
And if there is something that makes him look legitimately bad, then I just wouldn't even if it was funny, then I wouldn't post it. But usually it has.
But you want to post it, don't you?
So bad.
Don't you want to post it so bad?
So bad.
Is the divorce worth it? Yes.
I mean, sometimes it crosses your mind because you're like, we could get through it. You think
we could.
Yeah, we could with just a little bit of counseling. I don't see why.
Yeah.
And, you know, I know. But at this point, Rob doesn't really. He just sees it pop up in the news feed. And then most of the time he doesn't even read it. He'll like it. Like he'll support it or whatever. And he's like, so you talked about that today, did you? I'm like, I did. I needed something. And it happened and it was real. And I had to share it with the people. So.
See, people will tell on me. They'll text him. Oh, did you see Susanna's post today? He's like, oh, damn, no, but I guess I need to go look. And so he'll go look. And then, you know, I'm like, I can't believe you put that on the interweb.
Because he doesn't have a Facebook, right?
He does for like, but he's never on Facebook. Never. I pretty much forced him, me and Natalie and I forced him to get one just so he'd be cool like everybody else. And he's like, I don't care about these people. I don't want to be on there.
Yeah, Rob's the same way. He does it mostly to follow like football stuff.
But yeah.
Every once in a while, he just gets bored. And so he'll start trolling my threads. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, can you not troll my thread? Because like a lot of my friends have never met Rob and don't. I'm like, they don't know you're joking. Now you're embarrassing me on Facebook public. Women didn't have to deal with this 20 years ago where they're getting humiliated by their men on Facebook. Mm-mm. You know what I mean? Where couples were violating each other's privacy on Facebook. Mm-hmm. You couldn't even tell them that was going to exist. And they'd be like, oh, hell no, I won't get an account. Of course they will.
Yeah.
Because if you don't, you don't know anything. No. Which we've talked about this. In fact, we need to make a video about it. But it's like, you don't know. My girlfriend was not on Facebook for years, and she didn't know about pregnancies, weddings, graduations.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
She knew nothing.
She knew nothing.
She would see your kid, who she thought was still like 6 months old, and realize that they were 10. And she's like, I don't know. This is crazy. So she finally got on because she was just like, I can't, I'm missing out on, you start to miss out on life, which is just kind of sick a little bit.
It is. It's a little sad. It really is. I mean, what did we used to do? Well, we used to, I guess, You just didn't talk to that. You talked to your close people on the phone.
Mm-hmm.
That's what you did. And if you didn't talk to him on the phone, you didn't know. You'd see him 30 years later at Service Merchandise, and they'd have, like, you know, two grown kids, and that's just life.
Yeah, exactly. My mom has also kind of said, too, that she said that, and especially kind of watching my sister and navigating my sister having her children on social media, is that you also then have to get faced with your kids learning lessons in public.
Yeah.
And that's really hard. Because I remember one of my girlfriend's daughters, who was a preteen or whatever, made a comment that wasn't intentionally racist, but mm-hmm. it was kind of like she didn't know any better. Mm-hmm. And now if your daughter said that to you in the house, or if she said it out, you could pull her aside and say, no, we don't talk like that. I don't know where you learned that, but, you know, blah, blah, blah. Mm-hmm. But instead, when your daughter puts it on Facebook,
damn,
it's like it's a public display. And it wasn't horrible. Trust me, it yeah. wasn't bad. I don't even remember it. But it was enough where you're like, uh-oh.
Yeah.
She's using that word wrong. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And so it was kind of like, you know, you also have to kind of teach your children lessons publicly online, which is hard.
Right.
Oh, like your girlfriends know that your daughter's doing sexy selfies or so. Who knows?
Oh,
this is.
I don't know. I'd just like to go back to 1987 for like one day. Just one day.
That
you
was
know?
A good time. That was a really good time.
Mm-hmm. I don't know. I feel like all of this like is like messing up the aura of things. All this technology, like the world is just going to say, screw it and just blow up. You know what I mean?
Totally.
Like, I should not know what my middle school bully had for lunch today. I should not know this information, you know?
Exactly. Exactly. It's information overload to the max.
It is. I know too much.
You know,
of things
you know
I
too
don't
much.
Need to know.
Mm-hmm.
It's not right. It's
and then I'll know stuff. Like, my mom will say something about, like, let's say my cousin's wife. And I'll be like, oh, yeah, I knew that. Like, I think that she got sick. And my mom's like, how do you know that? And I go, well, it was on Facebook.
Yeah, of course.
You know what I mean? But why do I even know that? I've never even talked to her outside of, like, family events. But somehow I know the ins and outs of her daughter getting sick. What happened? How's the baby mm-hmm. now? It's just one of those things where we just can't hold all that information in. But I feel like
we need to clear our cache, our brain.
We do.
We need to like have a button and delete some cookies or something.
Some people have discipline, you know, like Steve Pressfield and Seth Godin. Like, Seth Godin doesn't even have a social media presence and says you don't even have to have one. That it's just you get up every day and you do what's important to you and that's it. And I'm like, boy, I mean... But now it's like, I don't know if I could. I would miss it. It's there's just, you just, I wouldn't know what my friends were up to. It's terrible.
I think Zuckerberg's the Antichrist.
What if he is? What if he is?
I mean, really.
Stall?
It fits. See, look, we're all following along like sheep, right?
He's charismatic.
There's that word you hate, sheeples. See?
Sheeples, exactly.
We're all sheeples. Oh, I love my Facebook. Let's see what they're doing. You know, and then suddenly, you know, you must enter code 666 to activate your page. You're like, oh, okay. I'll just enter 666.
That's
you
what
know?
He's going to do. He's going to take it all away, and then we're going to have to, like, sell our soul to get our profile page back.
See?
We figured it out, Susanna. We figured
it
out.
Someday people, when the world is in ruins and like there's just fires burning, somebody's going to go back on the internet and look for this podcast
yes.
and say, Susanna, Anna and Susanna predicted this years ago and we didn't listen.
I know we're going to be prophets. I think
we are.
I mean, we're going to be known as prophets.
I think so. Look, it's making sense. It's all making
Peter,
sense.
Peter, Paul, Susanna, and Anna.
There we go. I'm warning y'all of the end times, this Facebook.
Yes.
I don't know. Something fishy's going on here.
I feel like this podcast episode went all different kinds of places, and I'm okay with it 100%. Because mm-hmm. I think we had to let people know. First of all, we had to tell them a lot of your secrets because the public needs to know. And then
saving lives.
I complained a lot. That's usually what has been my most common podcast topic. And then now we're letting people know that the end times are coming, and here's the proof. Yeah. So I think our work here is done, don't you?
I think we've fulfilled our mission for the day.
All right. Well, Susanna, as always, so fun talking to you. We'll chat later.
Yeah, we will.
Okay. Bye.
Bye. Let's